Welcome back. It is time for Overhyped and Underplayed with Scott Reed, CTV's news political commentator, former DCOM for the former Prime Minister, Paul Martin.
Overhyped. Create jobs and opportunity.
In this election,
here's what I want to do.
Or underplayed.
Well, he's not overhyped. He's not underplayed. He's just perfect. He's just right there. Scott Reed. How's the summer going, Mr. Perfect?
Well, Mr. Perfect is enjoying summer. It's, you know, it's kind of a boring summer, I'm finding. You know, it's just kind of drifting along. I want to go somewhere. You know what I usually do, and this is the truth. I'm making a joke here. Usually in August, I follow the Jays to an American ballpark. I take my two youngest sons with me, and it's a really great trip. We've done Chicago. We've done Boston. We've done New York. We've done Baltimore, on and on. And we didn't do it last year. We're not going to be able to do it this year because it's 2 weeks if you're under 12 and you're not vaccinated. So I'm not going to make the kids go through that after what they've been through. So I'm missing that. Like, that's something I really look forward to at the end of summer. So
that's a good father-son thing to do. I like that idea. That's a beautiful thing to do.
It's such a fun time.
Take him to the ballpark. Take him out to the ball game. And have you done Fenway Park?
We have done Fenway Park. And the tour at Fenway Park, for anyone that's ever thinking about it, because I always take them on the tour. Yankees, the tour was the worst that we've ever encountered. I was really disappointed because they got more history than anyone else. Fenway, the best. Just a great tour. And like 3 hours long, telling all kinds of great old stories. They had a dude in his 80s who was in great shape, telling stories about when he was a kid and all the places they would go in the park. And it was just fantastic. So, yeah, absolutely been to Fenway.
That sounds great. And I'm with you. You couldn't plan anything this holiday. So, you know, everyone's kind of trying to slip away wherever they can. But, yeah, I'm with you. It's kind of one of these summers where, listen, we're just happy that we got a summer at all. So something has just come across our desk, and I want to, because I've got you here for a while, Scott Reed. Survivors are currently telling their stories at a press conference in Kamloops about the unmarked graves found at the Kamloops Residential School. But this has just come across the desk. You know, in Manitoba, and most folks listening won't care about their Indigenous Minister for Indigenous Affairs resigned yeah. because Brian Pallister, the Conservative Premier there, had made comments about a potential race war in terms of reconciliation, and he's not retracted them. And the leader of the NDP is a guy named Wab Kanu, who happens to be Indigenous. He's been on this show. So then Pallister introduces a new Indigenous Reconciliation and Northern Relations Minister, okay? This guy, Dr. Alan Lagomorje, okay? And he starts off his first press conference. This is incredible. This is in the middle of a crisis over this, defending residential schools. Like, I can't even believe I'm hearing this. And Wab Kanu, the leader of the opposition, this is an encounter you never see in politics. Let me play this for you, and then I'm going to get you to talk about it. I think this is the most authentic moment, and if you want to see where the career of a guy named Wab Kanu, who's the leader of the NDP, may change, it's this moment right here. But listen to this minister. Here's what he just said.
The residential school system was designed to take Indigenous children and give them the skills and abilities they would need to fit into society as it moved forward.
What? No, it was not designed to do that. That is the absolute biggest crock lie. It's outrageous. And this guy's the minister in charge of it. So the Manitoba NDP leader, Wab Kanu, literally walks up and gives it to him. Listen to this.
I cannot accept you saying what you just said about residential schools. It was the express intent of residential schools to kill the Indian in the child. It is not cultural relativism. It is not revisionist history for us to say that that was wrong. Any right-minded person at the time should have known that it was wrong. Many did know and speak up against it.
Wab Kanu gets right in his face. Scott, I haven't seen anything like that. That's how politics should be done. A minister is up there essentially gaslighting over the residential schools, and the leader just gets up and calls him out.
Yeah, and for folks who haven't seen the clip, it's worth watching the clip, because what may not come through is that this new minister is being introduced as the new minister, is, you know, on the steps in the legislature, talking, saying these things. And Canoe, like Wob walks in to the television frame. Like, we don't even know he's there, and all of a sudden he just appears. He sort of comes in from stage right and says, hey, hold the phone. I can't sit idly and silent by while you make that assertion. Like, it's very dramatic, very, very emphatic. And, of course, it's within a context, not just the context of, you know, today and at the press conference in terms of Kamloops, but also just the political context of Pallister's cabinet, right? His minister of Indigenous Affairs, she quit. And she didn't make a big hubbubaloo, right? But she found what the premier had said earlier in the week, where he said similar things, where he said, you know, look, I think, you know, we're better off. These people came, the people who built these schools, the people who put this system in place, they were trying to build something, and we're better off when we build together. And that minister, his own minister, said, I can't do my job and embrace those comments, so I'm just going to step aside. She didn't try to embarrass him in public. She just stepped aside as modestly as you possibly could. And so this is who Pallister picks. So I think you're forced to say that this is the official opinion of the government of Manitoba, because Pallister was at the source of this controversy. Then he picks somebody who presumably reflects his worldview. Sounds like he does. And good on Canoe for calling him on it. And I think it's emblematic of the controversy, and the conflict and the arguments that are happening, you know, all across the country, across family tables, you know, across bar stools. Like, people are having this argument. I've had it with people. Oh, well, you can't go back in time. And they were trying to do the right thing then. And they were trying to erase everything that was Indian about Indian kids. And, I mean, even by the standards of the time, it was bad.
What will be the ballot box question on the election?
Safe hands. Safe hands. You can't trust anybody else to guide us out of COVID, just as you couldn't really have trusted anybody else to have guided us through COVID. They're going to try to leverage the equity, the government, the federal government, the federal Liberals, they're going to try to leverage the equity they had coming out of COVID and saying, we struck the right balance. We backed you. We said we'd do whatever it takes. That's the same attitude that we will apply to the economic recovery. We're not
what do the Conservatives
yet.
Have to do to counter that, or the NDP?
Conservatives have to say, sorry, next war isn't the last war. We're out of this. We have to be preoccupied with straightforward pocketbook issues. You guys as a government are just too comfortable trying to re-engineer society. You see it as an opportunity to rewire how the country works. You're just too eager to spend and not worry about the debt. You're too eager to do all these big, fancy things and forget about the fact that I can't purchase a house and my kid can't purchase a house because the cost has gone through the roof, cost of everything else is going up. You're telling me that all the bunch of technical reasons why I shouldn't be worried about inflation, pocketbook, pocketbook, pocketbook. Try to make it about the future, not about the past, and try to make it pocketbook. That's where I think the Conservatives should go. But I don't know where they're going to go, because they're all over the map, Evan, and that's the problem, is that Conservatives haven't been coherent for months, maybe years.
What about the NDP, real quick?
I think the NDP will say, you know what, Trudeau is going to bring an end just as fast as he can to the things that made sense and the supports that were put in place during COVID. I'm going to continue them. We're going to continue with the supports for jobs. We're going to continue with the supports for the small business people that need them. We're going to continue and reinforce those supports in hospitals and schools. I think that's where they'll go. They'll say, you know what? Trudeau will smile at you as he stops those things. We are going to extend them.
Scott Reed, okay, overhyped and underplayed. I haven't even got to overhyped and underplayed. Olympics, we'll get to overhyped or underplayed. Then someone that cannot be overhyped. You've got a very special guest who will join us at the end of the segment coming up. It is going to be, for me, a sad moment, and someone that you listeners will know very, very well. You know about her sleeping arrangements. You know how much I tease her about drinking, which she doesn't really do. You know about her grandmother, and she will join us next. Mystery guest next Scott Reed is here for our favorite segment of the week, Overhyped or Underplayed?
Overhyped. Create jobs and opportunity.
In this election,
here's what I want to do.
Or Underplayed.
Scott Reed, and then we'll have our special guest I'll introduce in a quick second, but the Tokyo Olympics are coming up. Costs about $17 billion to put that on. There's going to be no spectators. They'll lose between $800 and $1 billion there. It's going to be a massive money loser. Are the Olympics at this point overhyped or underplayed? And is it a curse to get the Olympics?
They are definitely overhyped. This set of games are definitely overhyped. We've talked about it and talked about it, and yeah, you know, it's obviously a woolly mess. But what do you do? Like, they're not going to be any spectators, so they're going to lose money. That's the way it goes. You decided to proceed with it during COVID. You took your risk. Instead of V. I don't think it has to be a curse. I think if you could actually, like, you know, it's not beyond the ken of mortals to have the games, run the games, and make them work. I just don't think that it's impossible to find someone that's capable of pulling that off. But these games, they're, you know, we're in a mess, so they're a mess.
I love the idea of the Olympics. It's basically like a dorm room party. When it's happening, it's the greatest thing ever. When it's on, I love it. Then afterward, there's a massive hangover. There's crap everywhere, and there's a lot of regret. And you know, how did I do? Then you got like a tattoo on your back or something. It's a bad thing to happen. But during it, I'm gonna love it when it's going on. It's a great thing. What do you do with the velodrome? You probably have your own personal velodrome. You're so successful.
That is the measure of success. Some people say it's taking your own spacecraft into the solar system. No, it's a velodrome.
Yeah, I know, because Bezos is going to be like, space was good, but check out the size of my velodrome. By the way, a lot of people aren't showing up. A lot of athletes not showing up for the Olympics. You'll watch it, though, because you know why? You and I are suckers. It's like a bag of chips. You put on something sports with high drama, I'm there. That's my problem.
3 years and 50 weeks of my life, I forget that I have any interest in the Olympics. And then for 2 weeks, I suddenly am an expert in whatever, you know, Belgian caper tossers or something. I completely get absorbed by it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's not the caper toss is Scottish, not Belgian. But anyway, Scott Reed, CTV News political commentator. Get ready for the election. No bowl clubs. Let's bring on our special guest. I want you to say goodbye, and I'm going to do a tribute. This is not only, I'm going to take a short break after the show today, but this is the last day of our show before our great and powerful and brilliant her producer, Hannah Berge, who is the mastermind of every guest. She is the wizard behind this program, is leaving. She is moving from radio to television. She's going to be the producer of a daily television show at CTV in Ottawa. And Hannah, this is your last day. Throughout your time on the Evan Solomon Show as the pioneer, what did you do? You just revealed that you don't sleep with your partner in the same bed. You sleep in the living room. Your grandmother weighed in. I teased you about being an alcoholic, which I know you barely even drink. But you are, without a doubt, the most incredible, humane, wonderful partner and friend. And this show owes any success it has to you, not me.
Well, thank you, Evan. I don't know if that's completely true at all. But no, it's an emotional day for sure. I'm very sad to leave. I'm obviously excited to start the new job, but truly every day on this show has been amazing.
The thing about this show, and Scott will know, because I know you talk with Scott, and I'll give Scott a word here, but Hannah and I only worked together for a couple of months in the same studio before the pandemic hit. And this is one of those things where, and Chris Viss and Donnie who in Toronto and the guests, we all feel so close to each other. And what a testimony to Hannah, your ability to connect in this virtual world. Like, I feel like we've worked together every single day so closely. We never saw each other.
I know, it's crazy. Since last March, I think we've seen each other maybe one or two times. But it doesn't feel that way at all.
No, and listeners got to know you. You battled cancer. your skin cancer. You were very open about that. You were always, God, we exposed every part of our life. Scott and I talk every day, and Scott, you can just say, give Hannah a tribute. But, you know, Hannah, who's in her 20s, you know, she was so comfortable sharing the most intimate details of her life with our listeners. And any listener that wants to send Hannah a good luck message at 71010, please do so. Scott.
That is completely where I'm at. Like, I love working with you, Hannah. It's been a blast. But the word that jumps to mind is fearless. Because I'm not just a guy who's on the other end of the email or the telephone. I'm a listener, too. And I hear you on this show. And I think, my God, she is boundlessly courageous coming on and talking about the stuff, sharing all this, letting this guy talk about where you sleep at night and who you do and don't sleep with. I mean, come on. It's unbelievably fearless. So I will miss you. Best of luck. And by the way, I would imagine that seeing you very infrequently, Evan, would be a secret to success.
Yes. No, that was a bonus for Hannah, for sure. The infrequent sightings were good. Hannah, any message to Scott? Give Scott a word of wisdom, because could he use some corrective action from you? Anything.
Oh, gosh. You're catching me on the spot here. You two are both, like, you're just, I feel so grateful to work with both of you. Like, you're such great mentors. And I just feel so grateful for the friendships that have developed while working on this show.
So, Hannah, just
I have
just
enjoyed teaching you how to drink hard so much.
Well, you're definitely the drinker. Hannah, I just want to say something, and our listeners at 71010, and you can thank them as well. I'll give you an opportunity. This is all about the listeners. We have great debates on the program, great conversations. We try to keep it real. We try to fight the spin, get the facts out there, but also listen to people. And the listeners are grateful, and you speak to a lot of them. And any word to our listeners across this country who have been enjoying your work for so long?
Yeah, for sure. You say a lot, Evan, that this show is like a family, and it truly is. That's why I feel so comfortable talking about the most intimate details of my life. And, you know, when I shared my skin cancer diagnosis, everyone sent the most wonderful messages, and it really helped. And I truly do feel like we are like a family. And I just want to thank the listeners for that, because it is incredible.
I think you said the word, it's a family. Listen, from my wife, Tammy, who's gotten to know you as well, we send you love. I just really thank you. It is a family. I know Chris Viss, who is on the board, who comes to our story meetings, and Donnie, and Mike Ben Dixon, who's the head of the Bell Media Talk Network, and all the syndicated stations. We've benefited from your work. We're going to get a great person in, folks. Don't worry. We're looking for a great person, and Hannah's trained a lot of people. Hannah, good luck in television. You know, I have no problem. I think you can work in television and radio, and I think it's great. But I really mean when I say it's been one of the privileges and honors and pleasures working with you. You are just a sensational human being. You've got a remarkable career ahead. And I'll just say, on behalf of our family here at the Bell Media and the iHeartRadio Talk Network, thank you, Hannah Berge, to your mom. We love your daughter, to your grandma who listens. We love it. And you're a great, great person. I know I'll be working for you one day. So applause to Hannah Berge. This is her last show with me. She'll stay on the show for a couple more weeks with the guest host. But Hannah, all my love, my friend, you're the greatest.